Good morning once again, Community UU. How are you this morning?
Great.
It is such a pleasure and an honor to be with you anytime that I'm asked, and I appreciate that you all let me come back. I know I don't always have the greatest of tidings to bring. Nevertheless, you all hear the words that come from my spirit, and somehow, some way, they make it into your hearts and into your minds. And somehow, some way, you all feel like they mean something. And so I appreciate that. Before I begin, I have to recognize and introduce the first lady in my life, the first person who knew that I even existed in the world, and that is my mother, who is here with us today in the beautiful houndstooth with the pearls. I am more than overjoyed to have her with me today, along with my friends who always come and hang out with me. And my little nephew, who is in the belly, little Chance Parker Rafer. It's interesting because the first maybe one or two times that I came to speak with you all, I was nervous about sharing with a new congregation, but that nervousness pales in comparison to sharing with people who know you very well. And when there are people in the audience sitting on the front row staring at you who know you very well, it causes a different sort of, you have to adjust yourself a little bit different. Nevertheless, let's go to the word of the Lord for today. As a Christian minister, and those of you who know me, I appreciate that you all allow me to stand in my Christian tradition as I bring forth the words that I have for you. And I know, as some of you heard the scripture that was being read today, there may have been a little nervousness. Is he going to proselytize us today? Will he offer salvation full and free? No, that is not the idea for today. But I do have an idea, and it is with the title of Coming Out. If I can, I would like to go back to one of the verses that we read. And it is just at the very beginning. The Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God was to come. Jesus answered, "The kingdom of God does not come in a way that can be seen. Nor will people say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for the kingdom of God is within you." In 1979, the incomparable Diana Ross commissioned upstart producers and songwriters Niles Rogers and Bernard Edwards to create new material for her new album. This wasn't just any album. You see, this was her debut solo album after being released from her contract with Motown Records and Berry Gordy. Now, if you're familiar with the history of the singer-songwriter, you'll know that she and Berry have helped to create what is known as the Motown sound. That soulful R&B sound that penetrates throughout all of history, even to the moment that we're in at this time. She and Mr. Gordy will go on to have a whirlwind relationship, which will conclude in Miss Ross's exit from Motown with the Billboard topping song, "I'm Coming Out." Mm-hmm. I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show. I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I got to let it show. There's a new me coming out. And I just had to live and I want to give. I'm completely positive. I think this time around I'm gonna do it like you never do it, like you never knew it. Oh, I'll make it through. The time has come for me to break out of the shell. I have to shout that I'm coming out. I'm coming out. In my Christian tradition, I've often heard this particular text that we're using today preached or taught with reference to two events. And if you will mind for a second for me to be just a little professorial for about 2 or 3 minutes as I transition through the text, I would be much obliged. But I've heard it reference two events: Jesus' impending crucifixion and resurrection, which set the stage for the second event, Jesus' return or second coming, which is also referred to as the parousia. Now, I'm not saying that this text does not refer to these events, but I would like to offer for consideration today, what if Jesus is not simply referring to himself? What if Jesus really means the kingdom that we are all looking for is truly in us? Now, I wouldn't make such a claim without evidence, for the possible confusion of this text may hinge upon one little word, the Greek preposition entos. This word shows up only twice in the biblical text, here in Luke 17:21, and I'm sorry, Matthew, we got to pick on you again, in Matthew 23:26. But it's only here that the translators deviate from the general translation of this word, in or within, and choose the language among. Now, when you heard me read it today, I chose to retranslate that word to within. Yet, when you find that word in most of the biblical texts, you will find that the text does not say the kingdom of God is within you, but the translators made a decision, precarious decision in this moment, to translate the word entos from Greek into English to the word among. Instead of using its usual translation, within. Now, what's translating the word to among, now we have a new understanding of the text. For it is Jesus sitting, talking to his disciples, and if he is to say the words, the kingdom is among you, now I may, as a listener, as a writer, say, well, maybe Jesus was saying to them, you blind Pharisees, how come you can't see that I am the kingdom? Unfortunately, the word is not translated among, but the proper translation of the word is within. So if Jesus is not saying that I am the kingdom, if Jesus is actually saying that the kingdom is within you, that changes everything. Now, this passage of scripture is the only passage of scripture used in the biblical text to assert that Jesus refers to himself as the kingdom. But what if we've been reading it wrong? What if we've been missing the point of Jesus' teaching here all along? I mean, it's not too far-fetched to imagine that humans somehow misread or misunderstood what Jesus says. He was constantly having to reword and reinterpret his sayings and actions to the very people who walked and talked with him every day. What if Jesus never meant that he alone was the kingdom? What if he was truly saying the kingdom is us? What a revelation that would be. to these particular men. These particular men, because these particular men were Pharisees. And I believe that Pharisees in the Christian tradition sometimes get a bad rap. They were just logical cats. They said, hey, if you keep telling me this stuff, I need you to make it make sense for me. But what a revelation it would be for them who were attempting to understand the logic of Jesus' ministry. Where is this kingdom you speak of? And if it's so great, when will it come? For the prophet speaks, how long, O Lord, how long will we struggle? We're living under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. We have to pay unfair taxes while the wealthy continue to get richer. Our children are terrorized in the streets by Roman soldiers. They threaten to arrest or crucify anyone who pushes back against the regime, and they threaten to go to war with any land or country they deem as a threat. There's rampant poverty, and Jewish people are ready to revolt. So for the love of God, when is the kingdom coming? Jesus doesn't refer to himself then as the kingdom. He says the kingdom is right here, right now, within you. It's interesting because nowhere in the biblical text do you ever hear Jesus refer to himself as the kingdom. But he does refer to himself as the way. And oh, does he embody it. No, I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about the way as in Christianity. But what I'm talking about is the way Jesus lived. And the way Jesus died. The way everything about Jesus is synopsized into a phrase that has been and continues to be used to give hope in black and poor Christian households. Jesus isn't simply saying the way Jesus' life shows up. He is saying that I am the way out of no way. Yes, that's why they call him the stone that the builders rejected, who has now become the chief cornerstone, a way out of no way. The child of immigrants who was being hunted by the state even before he took his first breath, and somehow a pregnant immigrant woman evaded the law and made it to safety, a way out of no way. Growing up without a father because he couldn't take the ridicule of fathering a child conceived out of wedlock, a way out of no way. Yes, that's why they tell the stories of the multitudes being fed with only a little boy's 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, a way out of no way. Making a way out of no way is who Jesus is. That's the way. Jesus didn't say, I am the kingdom. He said, I am the way. A way out of no way. What if he was doing what Jesus consistently did? What if he was simply showing the people that in what seems to be the worst time in the history of their humanity, when the state and the people had corrupted themselves so to the point that oppression and pain was at every turn, that there was still a way out of no way. And that way was not coming from the east. It was not coming from the west. It was not coming from the north. It wasn't coming from the south. But the very kingdom that they were seeking was actually in them all along. And all they needed to do was have the courage to come out. I came not to speak of Christian tradition or any religious space, but I came to speak to the thing in all of us that has been hiding. The place in us that we've been rejecting. The power in us that we've been afraid of. The time for fear and hiding is over. The text speaks to it. The text, they ask, they say, when will this kingdom come and what will it look like? Jesus doesn't preach a sermon. He refers to their own history. He says, come here, Noah. In the moment, if you know the story of Noah and the ark, in the moment that all humanity had corrupted themselves so, somehow, some way, humanity was able to find enough in themselves to secure the earth, secure creation, and ensure that humanity would still go forward. In the time of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, when humanity had corrupted itself so, when women were being raped and killed, the powers that be were stealing money, somehow, some way, God found a family, and in them, humanity was saved. God says that in the time of trouble, in the time of great oppression, in the time of great calamity, that is the moment that the kingdom shows up. He says there will be a day where two people will be sleeping in their beds. One will be taken and one will be left. Well, I believe that day is today. Because when I hear the stories of my immigrant sisters and brothers who have their doors kicked in, the husband is snatched from the bed and the mother is left. This is the day for the kingdom to show up. The text tells me that there will be a time where there will be two people grinding grain, doing their jobs. One will be taken and one will be left. When I hear the stories of the people who are minding their business, just simply trying to make a living. They've been working here for 20 years. Finally got a good job. Society wouldn't allow them to get a Social Security card, so they had to make up a fake one. They've been paying taxes on that Social Security number. And on their jobs, ICE busts in and snatches them from the grinding wheel. One is taken and one is left. This is the day. The text tells me. It says if you find yourself on the rooftop and your goods are in your house, don't go back and get the goods. Because this is the day. This is the day. The day that the kingdom stands up. The day that the kingdom rises up. And oh, what hope and what joy there is in that. Because he didn't tell us. He doesn't say, hey, guess what? This is the first time that this has happened, so we'll figure out the end. But Jesus gives us the great hope that Jesus always gives us. He said, just like in the time of Noah, you did it before and we can do it again. Just like in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, we did it before and we can do it again. And just like in the time of Donald Trump, God did it before. And my God, we're going to do it again. Yeah. This is the kingdom. We are the kingdom. And if we don't realize who we are, if we don't realize the power that's in us, if we don't realize who God, who the Father, who the Creator has made us to be, if we don't realize it, all is lost. There's no Savior coming from the East. There's no Savior coming from the West. The text says, all those people who says, look, here he is, and look, there he is, and don't follow those people. Why? Because the kingdom is where? In. It's in.
In us.
We are the ones who have to knock the doors and get the people to the polls. We are the ones who have to talk to our neighbors and our family and our friends. We are the ones who have to make the change, because if it don't happen, it is on us. We are the ones. This is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. This is what salvation really looks like. Not some moment that happened on one Friday night. But salvation is a perpetual, ever-flowing stream springing up into new life. And every time the kingdom shows up in you, and shows up in you, and shows up in you, and shows up in you, every time the kingdom shows up in you, there we find salvation. Every time we take a stand there, we find hope. Every time we stand up, it is there that we find salvation. I talked about my baby nephew, Chance Parker Rayford, CPR. He's gonna be dope. But I don't have children of my own. And the reality is, no awe needed. I'm cool. But being able to be a part of these two beautiful people, my homeboy JR and my homegirl Dion, being able to be a part of walking with them as they bring new life into the world has been one of the great joys of my life. And it has helped me to push even harder. It has helped me to fight even more. Because for the love of God, baby Chance needs a chance. This is the moment. The moment for the kingdom to be revealed. The text tells us that is when we've gone to the brink, that's when the kingdom must reveal itself. So we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.